Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio.
Radio.
Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Hello. So did you warm your cockles, or did you at least find them?
Yeah, I still haven't found those cockles. I'd love to know where that came from. And then there's Laurie laughing in the background. Good evening, Laurie.
Hello there, guys. Hi, everyone.
Good evening.
I looked it up. I said, what the hell are cockles? And I looked it up, and it said they're clams, mollusks, so what does that mean when it warms you to your cockles? Do you know, Brian?
I have no clue. But it sounds really weird.
It does sound weird. But anyway, well, we had a grill on the back of the truck, and it was smoking away. It was kind of chilly outside, but there's something about a grill on a cold wintry day that will warm you down to your cockles, whatever they may be. And we had a great meal. We had pork steaks and pork tenders and potatoes. And I have just become, Laurie, am I the grill master or what?
Well, like I said, you're amazing. The view is amazing. Our friends are amazing.
Yeah, I'll pay you later. Anyway, so how are you doing, Brian? I have to say, Brian, this is going to sound kind of mushy, but I have missed you. Not that I've missed you, but I've missed all your posts on Facebook where you're always zinging me about my cooking or calling me a caveman. I've missed all your fun little texts that, you know, show you eating a Diablo burger, whatever that was called, at Hardee's, and complaining about Wendy's and all the greasy burgers. And it's just sad. Where you been doing? I miss you, guy.
Well, you know, when I decide to take a real hiatus from Facebook, I take a real hiatus from Facebook. And I'm sorry you missed me, but, you know, the world has to get on without me sometimes.
I was actually going to post.
I can't be all that to everybody all the time.
I know. I was going to actually post, you know, the new thing now is hashtags. I'm so sick of those freaking hashtags. But I was going to put hashtag Brian. Where are you? Hashtag Brian. But I didn't think anybody would respond.
but you realize that even though I'm not on Facebook and commenting, I did see your post about your cockles.
Yes, I noticed
so
that. So you're
I,
lurking.
I am using Yes, I'm lurking. Okay, well, we can use the word lurking, but I'm using those things to just sort of have fuel for the show.
Well, that's perfect.
It makes it more special than us bantering all week on Facebook, and then we have nothing to fight about on the show.
That's true, and actually, I didn't really miss you. Laurie wanted me to be nice to you tonight because we haven't heard much from you. So.
Of course.
It
always comes down to Laurie.
Yes,
I take hiatuses off of Facebook all the time because I just don't go on Facebook much. I just don't.
Well,
I don't know.
I'm always there. In case anybody's looking for fun, I'm there.
I'm always there. Somewhere within my
Okay, let's move along about, because people are listening to this, you know, the one or two folks that are out there still listening to this are waiting to hear about food news and things about food. And first thing I've got to talk about real quick, I saw a post just before I started the show, and it said, for all those people who think I'm crazy, and it showed a picture of all these things in the supermarket with all these GMO symbols all over them, just because I'm yelling and screaming, don't call me crazy if you're ignorant. Now, why are we ignorant if we don't say, if we eat GMO product, are we ignorant? I almost went off on them, but I said, oh, damn it, the show's starting. So after the show, I'm going back there to post something, my response to that. But if they have a different belief in food, why are the people who believe differently, why are they ignorant? Ryan, do you have any wisdom on that?
Look, I might fit in that category now. I know you want to turn me into the food babe, you know, category. I'm not.
Yes.
But,
okay.
You know, I haven't changed anything as far as what I love to eat. I just changed the proportions of them. So, I mean, I'm not ignorant. And, I haven't gone vegan. I haven't gone non-GMO. I look at labels now, and I'm glad that the stuff is there, only because I need to know how many carbs are in things.
That's cool, because you're segueing into my next story, which is, this is really cool. Aldi, you know your buddies at Aldi? You shop at Aldi, right?
Yes.
Well, according to the Health Nut News, and this is what the website's actually called, healthnutnews.com, Aldi, as of January, has decided they're going after Whole Foods, and they're going to start, according to the article here, it says, Aldi, a German, I didn't realize they were a hardware store over in Germany. That's what it says here. But they actually
They're kind of the Wegmans. They're kind of the Walmart of like Germany. You know, they have everything. They have everything. You know.
I didn't know that, but as of January 1st, the German supermarket chain Aldi, as soon as possible, is going to go all organic and also eliminate all products that have pesticides in them. And it lists all these different pesticides, from thiomaxifene to sulfux, flucka 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 flu, whatever this stuff is. And they're going to start ASAP not offering products that have anything to do with these pesticides. And, of course, they're going to have a half-empty store, I think. But
I may not be shopping there anymore because they probably wind up eliminating all the good German stuff that I like.
Well, you might be out. You might be out of trouble. Have a problem here because they're getting rid of all these products. Any product that contains any of these, they call them endocrine disrupting chemical concoctions. No such products can be reordered from their stores. So Aldi's going to have a half hour when they're done, but. Here's my whole thing about this, and I'm just going to give like a 3-little-second here complaint. But first of all, I'll make a statement. Are we not all living longer? We've had this conversation 100 times. Are we all not living longer? Is our life expectancy not increasing?
Of course.
The answer, of course it is.
I mean, you're breaking up on my end, so I didn't even hear what you said.
Well, Laurie did, so you get your phone.
I know, and I don't matter anyway.
Up a little bit. He is breaking up, but you know, I just want to say, if we lose each other or something, we have all of a sudden the wind really kicked up here. So if we lose you, I'll call back, or I'll keep talking with Brian if Will falls off. But he's right. You are. You are breaking up.
If we lose him, it's all right.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
The monkey can hear you. Yes.
All right. What I was saying is, if we start eliminating all these pesticides, guess what's going to happen? Just take a wild guess.
People are going to get sick.
I know, bugs. Just like you don't want to.
Well, I get it that you can't overdo things, but for God's sake, I mean, it's just like vaccines. A lot of the childhood diseases we had when we were growing up pretty much went away because of vaccines, and the proper vaccines were given to us as children. But guess what? They're coming back because, A, people from other countries are coming to America without vaccines, bringing over all the diseases, and then there's a whole group of folks who say, well, we shouldn't be taking vaccines because yada, yada, yada. So now mumps are coming back, and chickenpox are coming back, and whooping cough is coming back. My biggest concern is these people who want to eliminate antibiotics and want to eliminate all these pesticides. Okay, fine, but do you understand the ramifications of what may happen on the other way? So I think people are just being way out of line when they think we just should eliminate everything. Maybe we should cut down. Maybe we shouldn't use it as much. But to eliminate it, these people are going to eliminate all products that have anything to do with any of these pesticides.
Well, what about the article you just mentioned to me before we were on the radio? You were being, that's amazing to me. See, amazing.
Here's another one. Brian, do you like Girl Scout cookies?
Well, I can eat a whole box of them, you know, like in half an hour or less.
Well, you better
yeah.
Not anymore.
The old me.
Well, the old me still does, and according to our good buddy, the Food Babe, she has put out a Instagram listing all the bad things that are in Thin Mint cookies and other Girl Scout cookies, from GMO sugar beets to Monsanto Roundup herbicide to FDA partially hydrogenated oils to high fructose corn syrup. And basically she's saying people should not eat Girl Scout cookies anymore. I'm going to eat my 2 to 3 boxes a year. I don't care what she says. But here we go. Now she's only destroyed other corporations. She's going to destroy the Girl Scout organization. I've just had it with this lady.
Well, you know what? The Girl Scouts are pretty big, and they're pretty tough. So she's taking on a little bit more than she can chew, I think.
Well,
you don't mess with
the
Girl Scouts. And you know what? I bought in even this year when I see the girls out there, I'll buy cookies. Yeah, I'll have them one at a time. But I will never stop supporting and buying Girl Scout cookies, no matter what someone says.
Well, I mean, come on. The Thin Mints, you take them, throw them in the freezer. You ever done that? And I could eat a whole sleeve and I'm like,
I love the shortbread. I just love the shortbread.
Yeah, and we like the ones that are called the Samoas or Samosas.
Oh, they're the great.
The ones
with
the coconut and the chocolate on them.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm crazy about them.
I like them all. But anyway, they're killing us, guys, so we're not supposed to eat those anymore. And I know, Brian, you're on a special diet and you're watching what you're doing, but I get so fed up with these people who decide to become the food police on everything that we do. They decide what's good for us and what's not good for us, and they're going to make us all better. I don't know about you guys, but I think we're all doing pretty well compared to we were 50 years ago. So anyway, that's the end of my rant. I'll shut up. I think Laurie has some food news. I think Brian has some food news. So, Laurie, I know you want to finish your story from last week about Julia Child.
Yeah.
So
can I interject for one
second? I'm going to drink wine. I'm going to drink wine and shut up. What'd you say, Brian?
I want to interject just one second.
All right.
I'm not on a special diet. I'm watching what I do. That's not a special diet. It's called living normally as opposed to living abnormally.
Which is
so
what I do.
I'm not going to stop doing whatever I damn please when it comes to what I eat. I'm just not going to eat it all the same time.
It's
and
a lifestyle.
All the time.
That's
it's a lifestyle.
Can I interject something about that? Even though you're eating a normal lifestyle, you're still abnormal.
Well, I would expect nothing less from you.
And by the way, talking about caves, you talked about coming out of your cave. Who's the caveman here, me or you?
Well, I'm talking about the Facebook cave. You know,
okay.
I come out of the, I come out, well, actually, I'm going into the Facebook cave. I don't know. Yeah, look, I can be a caveman, you know. I can
mm-hmm.
be a caveman. I'm hiding from Facebook, so I can be a caveman, too.
All right.
Isn't it
refreshing? I have television,
Brian,
at least.
Isn't it refreshing when you stay away?
It is. You know, you can make fun of me all you want, Mr. Caveman. But when I come back, it's so refreshing when I go away, and it's so much more fun when I come back. So you should actually not say, oh, yeah, I'm going to go on hiatus. Actually do it. Try to actually stay away from Facebook for like 4 or 5 days, 6 days, a week.
I did. I went to Chicago. I wasn't on Facebook the whole time. I was in Chicago.
Okay, fine.
Yep, when he travels.
All right, Laurie, go do your Julia Child story. I'm going to drink wine.
And then we'll talk about that wine after I'm done with this. And Brian
okay.
will be able to chime in. We need the expert. We need our wine bar back. We talked about some things about Julia Child because I loved her. I loved her. And she was on one of the covers of our magazine years ago when I used to do the food magazine. But anyway, did you know that Julia Child served our country during World War II? Following
food?
Her stint as
she served them food or served in the army?
Served our country.
Oh, go ahead. That was a bad joke.
During World War II. Oh boy. Following
Laurie, he's got bacon stuffed in his ears, so you know that he's not gonna hear anything.
Garbled, he can't hear nothing. Julia wanted to join in on World War II efforts, but unfortunately, she was excluded from joining the Women's Army Corps due to her height. Instead, like I said, she was 6'2". If people weren't listening last week, she was 6'2". She joined the Office of Strategic Services and was quickly promoted to the position of top secret researcher. See? Julia Child wasn't always interested in culinary pursuits either. As a child, most of Julia's meals were prepared using frozen or canned foods. Hey, there you go.
See, there you go.
She lived on that, and she lived to be, what, I think 93? I forget what
did she,
age was.
Did she
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, for her, it was all the butter she used.
It was. Oh, and I did talk about that, too. I have a cute little thing about that. Julia realized that food could be wonderful and really enjoyed eating, so she used to go to the local Chinese restaurants. This is when Julia's love for food first began to bloom. She married late in life because in the 1940s, people married fairly young, averaging in their early 20s, but Julia didn't tie the knot with her husband until she was 34. She first met Hall Child during her time working at the Office of Strategic Services in Ceylon. They were married in 1946 in Pennsylvania. Another little tidbit. Her husband helped her ignite her passion for French cuisine. See that? Julia, let me see you see that. A couple of years into their marriage, Paul took Julia to dine at a restaurant called Restaurant La Couronne. I hope I'm saying these words right. It was the oldest restaurant in Paris, and Julia was smitten. She later described this experience as the most exciting meal of her life. It ignited the lifetime love for French food and sparked the beginning of Julia's career as, which she would say, bon appetit.
By the way, let me interject something. You'll like this, Laurie.
What?
Julia Child, famous quote, the secret of a happy marriage is finding the right person. You know they're right if you love to be with them all the time. Julia Child.
Really?
Really?
I didn't know that she said that quote. I like it.
Hey, did you know that if at first you don't succeed, try again?
Yeah, and try again.
Julia
yeah,
said actually.
Yeah, she actually, I don't know how much further you'll probably get to this, but she actually had a lot of trouble with cooking skills. She was very frustrated.
With the what?
She had a lot of trouble with cooking school. She was extremely frustrated.
Really?
Huh.
See?
But we're
learning so much
persevered.
Here. Well, here we go. It says here, Julia set out to adopt French cuisine for Americans in her cookbook, Mastering the Art of French Cooking, but it was initially met with rejection. The publisher wondered why an American would want to know that much about French cooking. After some persistence by an editor who believed in the project, the book was finally published and hit bookshelves in 1961. Here we go with the butter. Julia Child touched the lives of so many over the course of her television appearances, and she put a great deal of effort into her work. Each 30-minute episode of The French Chef required 19 hours of preparation on Julia's part, and the efforts paid off. Career, she was nominated for, I didn't know this, 8 Emmys, and she won 3 of them. She was also the very first educational television personality in history to receive the Emmy.
Really?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
She garnered the attention of the U.S. president. Julia was presented with the Presidential Medal of Freedom by George W. Bush in 2003. The award recognizes exceptionally praiseworthy service and is the highest civilian honor in the United States. They show the picture of the medal. It's beautiful. She cooked until the end. Oh, I made a mistake. Okay. She passed away in August of 2004 at the age of 91. I think I said 93. Just 2 days before her birthday, so she would have been 92. She never gave up cooking. Keeping to her classic cooking interest, her last meal was a bowl of French onion soup.
Really?
See?
I got two quotes real quick I'll throw in here you'll like, Laurie. Julia Child,
okay.
You learn to cook so that you don't have to be a slave and you know what to do with it.
Well, there you go.
And get this one. This one I really like. Animals that we eat are raised for food in the most economical way possible, and the serious food producers do it in the most humane way possible. I think anyone who is a carnivore needs to understand that meat does not originally come in these neat little tiny packages. Julia Child.
Love that.
You
meat. Well, but then what happens to your whole profession if meat just doesn't come in those nice little packages?
Well, no. Your point is everybody thinks it's a nice neat little package. Back in the back room where it's all done, it ain't pretty. You know the old saying about making sausage ain't pretty. I think what her point was is that people need to realize that it's more to it than those little nice little neat packages. Though
yeah.
I do like those nice little neat packages.
Yeah, I don't want to think about that.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead with your story. I'm just over here reading famous quotes by Julia Child.
So I guess the food babe really is not a fan of Julia Child then.
Probably not. Based on what I'm reading here, those two would not get along in the same room. And I think Julia Child would kick her butt, too.
Oh,
yeah, I'd love to see her go up against Julia Child.
Well, Brian, the wine czar, we've been
yes,
drinking,
ma'am.
Well, everyone knows we talk about we love our two, Columbia Crest, two vines, but sometimes we also buy, it's called Red Diamond, and it's the Shiraz, and we like it. It's about, I think it's about $12, but where we go, we actually get a great price for it, but it's delicious. So I did some research, and I found this article, and I'd like to get your opinion on some of it, too. It's Best Wines Under $10. And it says, it starts out, if you're a daily drinker eager for good quality, which, you know, we like our wine every night, follow these suggestions to your next glass of goodness. Instead of a list of wine labels that are hard to find, here are the wine regions, varieties, and some useful tips. Portugal. Brian, do you like Portuguese wine?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had it in a long time, but I do. Portugal's incredible terroir lends itself to the production of rich, full-bodied red wines. And Bro would love to be, I told him he would love Portugal wines also. I think he would. However, vineyards are populated with unique and unknown grape varieties, which serves to keep the market demand relatively low and off the radar. Not to mention that cost of living in Portugal is quite cheaper than most countries in Western Europe. Portuguese wines are undervalued. Many independent producers are now being picked up by the U.S. importers, which means better Portuguese wines are becoming easier to find across the country. But I really don't see a lot of Portugal wine stuff.
Yeah, but I think that there's a...
Well, there are some.
Yeah, but they're importing that stuff has been very difficult up until now. That's why you don't see much of it.
No, there is a representation of Portuguese wines. Most hardcore Portuguese reds are extremely, you know, dirty style, and I actually honestly don't think that Grill would like them because they're not, you know, kind of that fruit forward style that I know he likes.
Mm-hmm.
There are wines called Vino Verde, which are extremely popular and probably is the biggest Portuguese wine in the American market. They do make a red, they make a white and a rosé, Vino Verde green wine, but it's like the appellation designation, so they have a rosé and a red. Mostly you see the rosé and the white.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of that wine you just said?
Vino Verde.
Vino Verde.
It's the most popular, you know, it's like one of these really easy,
yes,
quaffable wines.
I do remember.
I lived on that street in California, Vino Verde.
But the other thing that's so, you know, big in Portugal is port. It's port.
I love, we were just talking about that. I love port wines after dinner. For my cordial, Brian's favorite word.
Aperitif. Hey, by the way, speaking of wine, you know what Benjamin Franklin said about wine? You'll like this, Laurie. Wine is constant proof that God loves us and loves to see us happy. Benjamin Franklin.
I like that.
I knew you would.
Mm-hmm.
I really like it.
Mm-hmm. I actually have T-shirt with that written on it.
Are you really?
That I got in Philly.
What are the chances of that? Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm.
All right, continue your wine story, Laura. What else you got?
Okay, I can tell he's getting bored. Can you tell already, Brian? He's bored.
No, I'm having fun reading.
Of course, that's
why
I don't talk about wine anymore. It's more fun trying to shut him up than me talking about wine, because then he definitely will shut up. But, you know, he just gets bored.
He gets bored. But, you know what, these are nice because they're telling you, like, you know, that these are wines that you can get that are under $10. Here's the United States. From the lighter, zestier, aromatic reds of Washington, we love Washington wines, to the smooth, full-body reds of the Sunshine State, the U.S. makes a ton of delicious value wines. While others pay top dollar for their Cabernet and Pinot Noir, you'll want to seek out alternative grape varieties that don't have the attention of the masses. Three consistently great examples are Petit Chirac, which is big and bold, Merlot, Tannin, and Red Fugue, and then Zinfandel, juicy and spicy, and it's in the under $10 category.
Well, first of all, Petit Chirac, I don't agree with that. Petit Chirac is kind of boutique-y. And I can't see a lot of Petit Syrah out there for under $10. Zin, yeah, because there's a lot of it everywhere, and certainly Merlot. What I have trouble with the under $10s that most people tell you are, you know, your great values, is that a lot of them are mass-produced wines. I can give you tons of under 10 wine from small producers from Europe. So it's,
see,
you know,
I
it's just a matter, it's just a complete matter of choice and what your preference is and what you like to drink.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be curious to know how much Petite Syrah is out there for under $10.
I
agree with that. It's going to be hard to find. Petite Syrah. Even Zinfandel. I don't know many Zinfandels under $10.
Lord have mercy. Can I interject something here? Who is Fran Lebowitz? Does anybody know? Fran Lebowitz, whoever she is, I love her, because this is what her famous quote about wine is. Great people talk about ideas. Average people talk about things. And small people talk about wine.
Whatever.
We're having a ball with it.
Lori, move on to something other than wine. He's just bored.
Well, I do have one more that I want to talk about because I have had this, and I love South African wine. I love it. Have you had, I'm sure obviously, Brian, you have, but girl, have you had it? Have you had any?
Yes, I have, actually. And it's very good.
See? It is
didn't I bring you a Pinotage?
Yes, you did.
Yes,
that's where it was from?
That's
yes,
right.
That was.
We loved it, yes. Yep. Jeez.
When it's done right, it's good. When it's done bad, I'd rather walk into a stable of cows or whatever they call it, a barn of cows.
Okay. South Africa has an incredible terroir for the production of red wines, particularly Cabernet Sauvignon, Syrah, and Pinotage. See? Though it sounds like a familiar favorite, Pinotage tastes nothing like Pinot Noir, and I agree with that. It is more like a very rich, full-bodied Shiraz. And see, Brian, you know our taste. We love Shiraz, and that's why we did love that. The Cabernet Sauvignon from South Africa is definitely fruit-forward and rich, but it also offers a savory flavor of, that's your word,
savory.
A savory flavor of black pepper, making it a perfect match for steaks or barbecue. Yes, what's going on here?
What?
Hello?
Nothing, we're just listening.
I'm here.
I kind of heard like...
No, you didn't hear anything. I was chewing something. Go ahead, I'm sorry. I was eating a Ritz cracker.
What are you doing? You're eating a Ritz cracker. Oh, for
I'm goodness. Bored. Are you done with the wine?
He's bored. Okay, so what do I do now? We want to move on to another article?
Well, I looked
up
Fran.
Let Brian read that.
Wait a minute. I looked up Fran Lebowitz, and she was a journalist, American journalist, and she was born in 1951, and she wrote for a paper called The Citation. I love this lady. I'm going to have to do more research on her. But, you know, she said food is an important part of a balanced diet.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, Brian.
Whatever. I'm so over your insanity.
All right, what did you like to add?
Yeah, add something, Ron. I don't want to be the only one here taking over this show.
You're asking me to read something, or you're asking me to add more to this wine article.
I'm just adding.
I mean, if you want, if you have some food news to chime in instead of just having me take over here.
Actually, I have an interesting nutritional fact.
All right.
Do tell.
Do you like pork rinds?
Yeah.
Or
love,
called chicharrón. Do you like those?
I don't know what was the name, because we love them.
Well, you probably get them as pork rinds, unless you found a Spanish, sold them, you know, under the Spanish name chicharrón. It's it's pork fried pork belly, you know, the skin.
Yep.
Yep.
Do you know that actually, if I could cut the fat down just a hair, they would be perfect snack for me.
They are a perfect snack for you. They got
low
lots of protein,
cholesterol, no
right?
carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
Only 76 calories per serving, but a serving is like a half an ounce. I don't know. I'd have to weigh them. I don't know how many of those things would make up a half an ounce.
Wow, you could you can get a whole bag of them. They only weigh like 6 ounces. Those things are light, so you could probably have a lot.
No. For a snack,
I have
certain limitations for a snack. So,
oh.
but I was like looking at this, and I'm like, you know, I love these things, and yeah, I could eat like 3 bags of them while I'm on the road driving.
Well, they're that light. I can see why.
Huh?
They're that light. They're just they're very
yeah,
light.
Yeah, light yeah, but
crunchy.
but they're big, so they actually are. They have mass, you know, and so they'll fill you up. But I was amazed, and the sodium isn't bad. Only 11% of your daily intake. So that was an interesting food fact. And yes, of course, one slice of bacon will not kill me at all. Even 2 slices
right.
of bacon wouldn't kill me. But I thought you'd like that. Now, I did have something. I pulled up, 2016's trend thing, and I wanted to make sure I wasn't duplicating what Laurie was doing, because I was looking at this thing as a lot of the things are the same, you know, the thing about the deliveries and, you know, the Uber Eats and, you know, and Amazon Prime and all that crap about, you know, and we talked about how people are so lazy. And then, of course, the one about, you know, the clean, healthy menus in the fast food places and everybody
right.
going non-GMO and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But I found one that was interesting. Did you know that pasta is an endangered species?
Excuse me? Pasta?
Do you guys don't eat a lot of pasta, do you?
We don't.
You're more
we really
potatoes.
Don't. Yep.
You're more potatoes. But they were this says that is pasta an endangered species? ? We're not joking. In the last 5 years, pasta sales dropped 8% in Australia, 13% in Europe, 25% in Italy. That's crazy. But people are looking at other forms of carb intake. So this article is talking about how, you know, these have you ever seen those little gadgets that will you can take a zucchini and or a potato and make these like spirally little noodle things?
Oh yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what they're doing. They're spiraling vegetables and making believe it's pasta, and they're eating more grains, which definitely have carbs, but not as high. So I just thought it was interesting that, you know, I never even thought of it that, I mean, we've eaten a lot of, I had pasta tonight, but it's first time I had pasta in a while.
Laurie and I had a deep conversation one night about pasta. Remember this, Laurie? Okay, you have elbow macaroni, and you have spaghetti, and you have all the different ones.
Shells or whatever.
Shells and all that. Okay. Isn't it all the same thing, just made in a different shape?
Yeah, I mean, there are different ways of making pasta. But, yeah, there are thousands of shapes
stuff.
Of pasta. And mm-hmm. there's pasta made with potato in it.
Well, yeah, that
you know?
I know. But the stuff you get at the store, the boxes and all the different shapes and sizes, it's basically the same stuff. It's kind of like playing with Play-Doh when you put it in that machine and squish out different stars and stripes and stuff. It's still Play-Doh. So isn't that the same
yeah.
thing with pasta?
But it's just,
yeah.
yeah it's just,
but you know what's funny, though? You know what's interesting about pasta? Because, of course, I'm reading the back labels, and I'm looking at how many carbs there are and blah, blah, blah. And so it'll tell you a serving portion is, you know, a cup of dried pasta, or they give you, like, the weight. Now, okay, even with the food scale, if you get these big rigatoni, all right, and you put a cup of those together, there's so much air in there, and it's not all pasta. So how the how do you measure a cup when you get noodles when you get three noodles in the cup?
You have three noodles in your cup.
So it's like they give you the weight too. Okay,
far.
All right. How are you gonna lay a spaghetti across a scale and weigh it when most of it's hanging off of the scale? You certainly can't put spaghetti in a cup unless you break it up.
You want to know the answer to your question? It's real simple.
Moderation.
If it's a 12-ounce box. Then, okay, now you got to eat 4 ounces. That means you get 3 servings in the box. Why do you got to weigh it?
I was just making a conversation about how they tell you what these servings are and how you're supposed to figure it out. They tell you how many servings are in the package. I know that.
I know.
I just think it's hysterical that they tell you, okay, it's a cup of spaghetti. How the hell do you put spaghetti in a cup?
Well, what about the big stuff? You know, the big shells that you stuff with the ricotta and the mozzarella and stuff. I mean, if you put like two of those shells in a cup, you got just 2 shells.
Yeah,
you're right. If you think about it, they're huge.
They have these little measuring things
for spaghetti.
I think it's funny that we're all sitting around trying to figure this out to begin with, that we're actually worried about weighing our spaghetti. Okay. We got to go. There's only 2.5 minutes left. And another famous quote, I don't know who said it, but it said, midnight snacking must be something we're supposed to do. Otherwise, God would not have put the little light inside the refrigerator.
What? What did you say about that? I heard something about ice packing. What was that?
I said
midnight snacking.
Midnight snacking must be good for us because God would not have put that little light in the refrigerator otherwise.
Wait a second. I thought the little light in the refrigerator is when you lost power so you could see everything inside the refrigerator.
Oh, yeah, right. All right, we got to go. By the way, I know this is going to upset a lot of people, but we're not going to be here next week because it's Super Bowl Sunday, and we figured we're not going to compete with the NFL, so we're not going to have our show next Sunday, even though I know people are just like, oh, man. But we'll be back here in 2 weeks. So, Brian, I don't know what you're going to do. I hope you're going to watch the Super Bowl next Sunday, but we won't be here.
No, I'm not watching the Stupid Bowl.
Stupid Bowl.
All right, we got to go. And the thing I always ask, okay, Laurie, do you have anything to add?
I actually have something to add.
Wow.
My book launch is 1 week from this Wednesday.
That's right.
I'm
yay.
So excited.
Yay. Congratulations. Go to her website, myhappybooks.com. Buy a book. Go to her book launch. Do something. Okay, Brian, what do you have?
Oh, stop.
I have nothing. I'll miss you guys next week.
We'll miss you, too.
I'm going to call in to do the show, and no one will be there.
All right.
You
want
to do it
by
yourself?
I won't be able to go on Facebook. I only go on Facebook on Sundays to announce the show. What am I going to do next week?
That's true. You got 2 weeks hiatus now. All right, we got to go.
Yeah,
see everybody next week. Have fun at the Super Bowl.
Cheers.